Good morning. Today we are continuing our topic of the prohibition or the heterim of eating and drinking in a shul and a beis medrash. And today we have a specific question, and that is, how about having a sheva brachas, the seuda of a sheva brachas in a shul or a beis medrash? Is that permitted or is that not permitted? So we're going to start out with two tshuvas written by Rav Moshe Sternbach in his set of svarim, his responsas, tshuvas v'hanhaga. So in the first volume of Tshuvas V'Hanagos, Rav Moshe Sternbach writes that this concept of eating and drinking in shul, people are fairly lax on it. People indeed do eat and drink in shuls, and they bring the rationale that, based on the Gemara, that the Bate Knesset of Bavel, in other words, in Chutz La'aretz, were built on a k'tanai, that if you make a condition when you rent a shul, or buy a shul, or build a shul, then it can be used for personal uses, for example, eating or drinking. They can't be disgraceful uses, but for personal uses, you can be lenient and do accordingly, for example, eating and drinking. So people typically rely on that rationale, that al tanaya masuim, we have that tanaya, and you can use it for those purposes. However, Rav Sternbach says you cannot rely on this, and certainly in the context of a su'uda for a sheva brachas. And he says you need to distinguish. When it comes for a su'uda shlishis, eating the third meal on Shabbos, there is a reason to be lenient, because if people leave after mincha, they may not come back. He says, see, people will disperse. He doesn't explain exactly what that means, but I think that means that if they disperse, they're not coming back for Suda Shlishis. They may not eat Shalish Shudish. They may not come back for Marav. If we lose them, we lose them. Accordingly, we can be lenient. You can have a nice Suda Shlishis, even if there's no other place. If there's no other place, you can even have it in the shul, sing songs, have divrei Torah. That would be acceptable. However, when it comes to a su'uda of a sheva brachas, there's no reason to have it in a shul. You can simply go to a hall somewhere else. You can go to a private house. So he says, reason number one we distinguish is there's no reason to have it in the shul. Su'uda shlishis, we need to keep people in shul so they stick around, they daven marv. But when it comes to a sheva brachas, there's no reason to have it in the shul. There's no nexus to the shul. That is reason number one. Reason number two is when people come to a sheva brachas, even under the best of circumstances, there is oftentimes sicha b'teila, talking about things that should be not talked about in the shul, that are usher to be talked about in the shul. So a second reason he brings why we should be machmir on this. And a third reason, he says that whole heter, that people rely that when we bought our shul or we built our shul, we made a condition that we can use it for personal uses. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that only applies after the shul is no longer in productive use. When it's bechor ban or even destroyed, it's not actively being used as a shul, then if you made the tanai, then you can use it for your personal uses. But if the shul or the base medrash is still being used, that tanai doesn't help. You can't use it for your personal uses. That is reason number three we should be machmir. And reason number four we should be machmir, he says, that at many of these sheva brachas, people have beer and they have wine and they have alcoholic beverages, and we can't have that in the shul. That's kalas rosh, that's levity. There's really no need. Accordingly, brings those are, I think, four reasons to be machmir when it comes to sheva brachas. Now, Rav Moshe Sternbach has a second tshuva. This is in the fourth volume of Tshuvas V'Hanagos, and here he distinguishes that there may be people are noheg to be lenient when it comes to a suda of a bris milah. They are lenient when it comes to a suda of a pidyon aben. They do it in shul, and they do it based on the understanding that there was a tanai when they built the shuls. They're talking about in chutz la'aretz. But when it comes to sheva brachas, he says, I don't see a basis that we can really be lenient. We have to be stricter, even if they're singing songs and having divrei Torah, but nonetheless, they are indeed singing, they are indeed speaking dvarim b'teilim, things that should be not talked about in the shul. That was our second point that we have of the four from the first tshuva. And then he adds on an interesting point, and certainly if they are sitting with their backs to the Aron Kodesh, that's prohibited. Roy lesor b'cholav, and in any case, even if we would be matir, because it's al tanaya suim, and we have other heterim for sheva brachas, but if they're sitting with their backs to the Aron Kodesh, we can't be matir. And the tanai doesn't help for that. If they, even if they made a condition, that doesn't mean you can act with levity and impropriety in the shul or the base medrash to sit with your back to the Aron Kodesh, and certainly in Eretz Yisrael, we should be machmir. And he goes on, and he continues and says, and the whole basis why people are lenient on this is because they want to save money, because it's cheaper inside the shul than going and renting a restaurant or a separate hall. He says that is not a basis to act in this way to a place of kedusha and a base medrash and a shul. And he goes on and criticizes those bate medrash, and the same for shuls, that rent out their locations, not when they have a catering hall, but when they rent out the shuls and the base medrash for a shever brachas and other smachot. He says that's a zilzul, it's a disgrace for the kedusha of the makom, and only in a shas adchak, when you have no other options, then we can even consider it. Then we can discuss, is it okay or is it not okay? But if there are other options, certainly it should not be done. So the position of Rav Moshe Sternbach is clear, shever brachas and shul and a base medrash, highly problematic. On the other hand, and this is fascinating, in the Sefer Orchas Rabbeinu, it brings that Rav Chaim Kanievsky said that when he was marrying off his own daughter, his father, who was the Stipler Gaon, said it is permitted to hold the Sheva Brachas, the Sudavas of the Sheva Brachas, in the Letterman Shul. The Letterman Shul is in very close proximity to where Rav Chaim Kanievsky lives. And the Stipler Gaon, who was the grandfather of the girl who got married and they were having Sheva Brachas for, he said you can have it in the Shul. It was at a time that they had actually enlarged the Shul there, the Letterman Shul. And when they did that, they made a Tanai, an explicit Tanai, that they would be able to use it for non-Kodesh purposes. For example, eating and drinking and smachot in the Shul. They made that condition. So the Stipler Gaon was lenient based on two reasons. Number one, because they made the Tanai, and this is indeed new for us, and we will discuss it further in the coming days, knew that this Tanai can be made not only in Chutz Laaretz, but in Eretz Yisrael as well. We are talking about a shul letterman located in Bnei Brak. So the Stipler Gaon was of the view that that Tanai could be made not only in Chutz Laaretz, but in Eretz Yisrael, and that would assist and enable people to have smachot, eat and drink in the shuls. And number two, because it's a Sudas Mitzvah, second reason why the Stipler Gaon fell, you can be lenient even in Eretz Yisrael. He said there's a basis to be lenient. He permitted his own granddaughter to have her Shever Brachas in the shul. So there we have it. When it comes to Shever Brachas, we have a big machlokas here. Rav Moshe Sternbach being fairly machmir on it, and we have Rav Chaim Kanievsky quoting his father, the Stipler Gaon, indeed permitting it as long as there was a Tanai made, and also because it is indeed a Seudas Mitzvah. Have a wonderful day.